Just have a few minutes, but I'd like to share with you just a moment about honoring one another. I believe it's one of the most important things of the way that we put our faith into action, where faith becomes a verb. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Very interesting, isn't it? Take delight in honoring one another. Now, in order to really look at this verse, you have to first see that he talks about love each other with a genuine affection. Love is always the guiding principle of which we live. We really cannot live this life or talk about the Christian walk without somehow getting to the idea of love. Love is paramount. The only way the gospel works, the only way the ministry works, the only way life works is if the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts that we might not sin against God. The love of God flowing is what's the motivating factor. God loves us incredibly, and we love Him. And it's because of that factor, that incredible factor of love, the guiding principle, that we live our life. The scripture says, behold, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that good? And then he said, you didn't love me first, I loved you first. But go and love one another. And so the guiding principle of all faith is really love. In fact, the scripture says that there's three things there. He says there's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we know that loving one another is extremely important. I love those who have served our country in the military, in these tragic events, as we come now again to the anniversary of the bomb, of the attack on the World Trade Center. Not only that, but the Pentagon and the plane that was crashed out in Pennsylvania, as well as other things that we probably don't even know about that have happened because of terrorism. I don't know how you stand on your political agendas, and I'm not here to get into it because it's not my place nor desire. But I want you to know I stand for America. And I believe that God has His hand still in this country. And if we'll turn to Him and follow Him and walk with the guiding principle of love, the love and the grace of the Lord, He will lead us and guide us. And He'll provide that next leader who's to lead us in the White House and throughout our country. Now, the true art of honoring one another begins with the ability to have genuine love. Not just love, I love you or whatever, but this genuine deepness of what love is about. Love is to be the guiding principle in our Christian relationships, not only with fellow believers, but the Bible even tells us that we're to love our enemies. I don't even like that verse. But it says it in the scripture, it does. And Paul mentions many Christian duties, but love is the providing and presiding principle that goes across the scripture that should be the most important thing in our life, that we love one another. And so I encourage you to love. The word love here is the word Philadelphia, which is a fraternal love or brotherly love or brotherly kindness, a love for the brethren. How many of you know that we need to love one another? And it's very important. We're to bless those who persecute us and not repay evil for evil, the scripture says. And in Romans, it tells us not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good, that love prevails. The second point is that we must have genuine affection for one another. Affection, this Greek word, philos torgos, is a word that means storage, cherishing one's kindred, especially parents or children, fond of natural relatives, fraternal towards fellow Christians, kindly affectioned. Now, the idea of this word, it literally means that we're to have a genuine affection for the generations. Now, look, when I went down to the lake and wrote these sermons a month ago, I had no idea this was going to come up on Grandparents' Day, and I didn't plan that. I don't plan that kind of stuff. I didn't know it was going to be the couple of days before the 9/11 thing. But I believe this. I believe that God has called us as Christians to have genuine love a genuine affection for one another, that this Philadelphia love, this love that I just described, now has a genuine expression. That we don't just do things because you're kind of supposed to, or you kind of maybe feel like a little obligated, but that there's a genuine affection in our heart to touch a world that needs the love of God. God's called us to do that. Amen? And then, my third and last point is that we need to honor one another. This word honors the word time, which means a value, to put value on. It's kind of like the idea of money paid. You know, you put that cash out there, it really means something. In fact, one of the reasons why we teach about financial peace about using cash is not because we want you to have your money at risk, but it hurts when you have to throw dollar bills out there, or 20s or 50s, you write a check or throw a credit card out there, you don't even feel it. But boy, when you're going to pay for something, you got to throw a 20 and another 20 and another 20 and another 20. Pretty soon you go, oh man, I worked hard for these 20s, you know. And so this is the idea of this word honor. It means to, teammate just means the idea of having this concretely and collectively. It means the valuables of our life. By analogy, it means to esteem other people, especially of the highest degree, or the dignity itself, to honor, to make precious, to realize the price and that of people. Honoring is something that started from way back in the beginning. You know, God created us to be honored. In fact, one of the Big Ten, honor your father and mother. First commandment with the promise. It may go well with you. You'll live a long time on the earth. You want to live a long time on the earth and be prosperous, young people, honor your father and mother. Honor means to lift up as very precious, to realize that it's valuable and understand its value. And when you honor your mother and father and do that, God will then bless you with long life on the earth and a prosperous life. And then this idea of honoring one another has this idea of preferring one another, having a preference. It's the idea that we should have kind of a preference for one another, or we should lead the way for others. In other words, we honor people. We began to lead the way for them. We lead them in the way that they should go. If you really want to honor your children, parents, don't show them the way you've always been. Show them the way God wants you to become. There's no perfect parents in this room, including me, especially me. But it's our call, it's our goal to lead our generations in the way that they should go. The best honor you can put upon your children or grandchildren is to lead them in the way they should go. And I could go deep into that, but I'll just leave it at that right now. That the Bible teaches us that in Philippians chapter 2, that we should have the attitude of Christ. And how did Christ have that? What kind of attitude did he have? He had an attitude that was incredible. Even though he was God himself, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped at. But he denied that, and he became a servant. He lowered himself to the lowest place of a servant and died on a cross. And the Bible says in that passage of Philippians 2 that we should think of others better than ourselves. It doesn't say not think of yourself. It says we ought to honor or think of others better than our own self. When Jesus gave his life, the scripture says that he laid down his life on that cross, and then therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that at the mention of that name every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess the glory of God the Father. You want to have a good Bible study? Just get in Philippians chapter 2. It'll turn your life around if you understand the kind of attitude we should have. It's all about honor. Romans chapter 2 verse 7 says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. In other words, we should seek after the opportunity to be honored, not so we would be honored as much as that we would live our life in such a way that people would want to honor us. I had no idea Roy was coming today. I don't even know what all that was about, really. But I understood what he said. But you know, he come here today, so I want to say something. I hooked him up with Kenton. I didn't even really listen to him, to be honest. I was on my way to the prayer room. But the truth is that for some reason God ordains all that. See, he touches at just the right time. Roy's life touches my life. And then at that time, there's the word and there's the example, and God puts it together. How many of you know we don't have to construct it? We live our life in a way to be honored. That's the idea. When Roy calls me up and wanted me to go to a certain place in ministry, there was not a hesitancy in my heart, because I want to live my life in way of honor. Now, not to be honored. You get the difference? But to live it as though you were going to be honored. Because God wants to honor you. Now, we don't lift ourselves up. You get the point. Are you with me? It's not for the honor, but you live your life like you were going to be honored. And that's very, very important that we understand conceptually what that means and what God wants to do in our life concerning that. Now, it may seem a little self-serving, but I don't intend it that way at all. It's just important that I share all what the Lord has shown me and what he's put in my life about honoring, about this idea of honoring, putting our faith into action in the area of honoring. The truth is that our honor should all go to the Lord. If someone honors me, the honor really goes to the one who created me. In fact, in the end of this whole thing, I was in Ron's class today, and we're talking about prophecy. I mean, we kind of tipped the iceberg a little bit. But we were in there talking about prophecy and end times, and oh, Jesus is coming, and it's all exciting, you know. And I was thinking about, in my own mind, I was thinking about that day when we stand before God and give account for our works, you know, at the Bema judgment. I shared about that Wednesday night. And then God will place upon us the crown that we deserve for the works that we've done here. And you know what we get to do? We get to take it and lay it at Jesus' feet. Because if there's any honor that should ever go to me, it belongs to him. Now, it doesn't mean you can't say thank you when you've done something nice and somebody honors you. But what it does mean is that all real honor goes to the one who created us. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 20 gives us a way that we should honor those who are in leadership. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of a double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Appreciate getting called an ox, but anyway. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder, except from two or three witnesses, and those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. In other words, there's a responsibility for those who serve publicly, those who serve on our staff, those who serve in our church life and leadership. There's a responsibility that we're to rise to and to live like God would want us to live. Live as though you're to be honored. Because he says here in 1 Timothy that elders who rule well will be counted worthy of a double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Now let me say this to you, that I believe that God wants to raise up people to serve him in many, many different ways. And one's not above the other. They're just different callings. And so let God use you. But I got to tell you, it says in here, shall not muzzle an ox. That means you don't tell him what to preach. Or her. And so, don't be telling him what to preach, okay? The labor is worthy of his wages, I want to raise. No, I'm just teasing. I get paid really well. But this part about not receiving an accusation against an elder is very important. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it right. And so be careful with those kinds of things. Now let's read this passage one more time real quickly. And I'm almost done, from the New Living Translation, because it brings up a couple other thoughts. Elders who do their work well should be paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not keep an ox from eating as it treads out the grain. Now, I like that, because it just kind of means that all the time I'm working, I get to eat. As you can tell. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. Do not listen to complaints against an elder unless there are two or three witnesses to accuse him. The point is be careful how you touch God's anointed. Put honor where honor is due. And when one is honored, all are honored. That's what the scripture says. So in conclusion of this and this whole series about faith as a verb, there's just a couple things I'd like to say to you. Faith is not a setting still in what you believe. Faith is a verb. It's an action. And our faith works out in the way that we treat one another. It's the way we live with one another. It's not just what we believe. It's how what's inside us comes out and touches other people. Philippians 2:12-13 says, "Dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him." And so God has called us as his people to put into action our salvation. You might translate that in your Old King James or New King James or some of the other translation. That's that scripture. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't mean you work for your salvation. It means put it into practice. And not only includes our personal life, but our corporate life together. Let me just say to you right now, I believe that God wants to do something at New Beginning bigger than he's ever done before. But if he's going to do it, we've got to take a step up, every one of us, in our prayer life, in our times in the Word. I called our staff this week to a whole nother level in our staff meetings to come prepared to give the Word. And they will, each week now, Wednesday night when we eat, they'll be sharing what God is saying to them from his Word. We prayed together. There's just a powerful touch of God's Spirit as we prayed around the table. I asked our leadership team yesterday, I want to raise to another level. Because we will never go higher in our walk and in our blessing until we as God's people rise up to another level. I sat at the table this morning with Ron and Randy and Lisa and Steve, and they were talking about prophecy, and I'm going, man, I didn't even know any of this stuff. I mean, they're so far ahead of me and all that stuff. And I've read it all, but I don't understand any of it. I just say it. I'm a pantheist. It'll all pan out in the end. But not really. I kind of have some grip on it. But you know the idea. And so, but we've got to step it up. Because there are people outside these doors dying and going to hell every single day. One by one, fast. I mean, it's happening. Everything in these days are going so quickly. How many know that it's already September of 2007? I mean, it was just January a couple days ago. It is just, time is just slipping away. And we better make the most of the time, the Bible says, to do that. And one of the ways we can do that is honoring one another and lifting one another up and encouraging one another to step to the next level. And I believe God wants to do something there. And lastly, Galatians 5:13, our church passage, our church scripture says, "For if you have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love." And that's another one another passage that I think is very, very important, that we learn to serve one another in love. And many of us do, and many of us need to step up to do that even more. Amen? Now I'm going to tell you this one last thing and I'm done. I'm going to pray, and worship team, come on, start coming this way. We're going to sing a couple songs and we're going to be going. But I'm going to say this to you very clearly, and I want you to listen to me. I believe God moved this morning. And I make no apologies for the move of God. If people come in and they're our guests and they think we're strange and they leave or whatever, that's just their decision. But I will never apologize for the freshness of the move of the Spirit and the genuineness of his touch. Because I would rather have a few people who want God's touch than a whole church full of people who want to say, I really don't want that stuff happening. Amen? And I'm not talking about any particular person. I'm just talking in general now. But you understand, I want the move of God. And I don't want to govern him out of our services. We have our nice drama stuff, and we have the word, and we have a nice worship team. Amen. Don't we have a nice worship team? Let's honor them today. We do. We have an incredible gift. We have incredible teachers and people of the word here. And God has blessed us. And I just want God to move among us. Amen. Lord, I pray that today you would just do something in our life so incredible. I was so touched as greeting time was happening today, Lord, and little Kason was sitting up here right on the front row crying. And I went up to him and asked him how he was, what was up. And I said, did you feel God touch you? And he said, yes. Oh, that all of our children would feel the touch of God's presence. Oh, that all of God's children would touch the mighty power of the living Savior as he enters into our lives each and every day. Yes, Lord, you're coming again one day. We thank you that we'll see you high and lifted up as you break the eastern sky and remove us from this place, and we'll reign for a while and all that stuff happens and all that. I'm thankful for that. But right now, Lord, I'm so thankful for you coming among us today and making yourself known. For if we know you here in your power and your authority, we'll know you greater one day in that place called heaven, where we live forever, you in the new Jerusalem, new heaven and a new earth that will reside upon this place. And we'll have new bodies, not the tent that's fading away, but the wonderful taking on of your presence and your power, and the gown and the robe that you've prepared for each of us that walk with you. We love you and honor you today, Lord. And we know that without you, there's no reason to live. And so we put our hope, we plant it completely upon you and your word. And we look for your coming. But we live this day and every day to be honored, as though we would be honored. And though the honoring publicly may never come, one day we will stand before you, and then all will be honored. The crowns will be given, and we'll gladly lay them at your feet. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.